It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve alt baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you're a baby gay
or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. And there's going to be a lot today because we're reviewing a classic, a fave of the pod. I feel like we've mentioned it multiple times before. Yeah. Also, I have a giant movie poster of it somewhere, but I can't.
Oh,
I don't know where.
Holding it.
Wait, we were gonna originally. That was gonna be our backdrop. Was the movie poster of this movie, but it was slightly too small, so the window still like put in too much light, and it didn't work over the thing. Anyway, the movie is Fried Green Tomatoes, which is from 1991 and stars Kathy Bates, Mary Stuart Masterson, and Mary Louise Parker. Babe. So many Marys.
Right? Yeah.
This film is not explicitly WLW, but it's pretty commonly accepted in the LGBTQ community as a film that centers on a sapphic couple. Mm-hmm. And the book version is more obviously queer. Like, they are mentioned as a couple. There is a part in the book when Iggy is a kid and she meets Ruth, and the mom says something about, like, don't make fun of your sister, she has a crush, blah blah blah. And I remember reading that, I was like, oh, she has a crush on a girl, she can, you know,
because this is okay.
I also, as a child, I was a very like voracious reader, so I was reading this when I was like 8 or 9, you know what I mean, like it was like for grown-ups. So anyway, point being, it was based on a book. The book is called Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe. So slightly different. They just shortened the title for the movie. But anyway, when they made it into a movie, it was, you know, they were filming it in like 1990, probably, because it came out in 1991. That was not an easy time to make a mainstream, like blockbuster type of movie about lesbians. So they kind of just, I feel as if in this movie, and I noticed it more rewatching it, I mean, if you are, like, gay, especially, or you are, like, looking at it with, I mean, I guess you could think they're just very best friends. And I feel like that's what the movie centers it as. Like, no, they're not just best friends. Okay, they're literally a couple. They raise a child together.
Exactly.
And they have a business together. They're
if you read into it, you could see that there is more than just friendship.
They're very best friends, as my grandma
very,
said.
Very special.
It's her special friend, her roommate. So I wanted to ask, so this movie is named after a classic Southern dish. Okay, so I have two questions.
Okay.
First is, have you ever had fried green tomatoes?
No. Have you?
Yes. Okay, they're
missing out, I know.
But I really want to make them, but the thing is, you can't really buy green tomatoes like so easily. So you have to know somebody that is growing tomatoes, and you can, like, I don't know, pick them off when they're still green, I think. I had them a long time ago because I was obsessed with this movie. Mm-hmm. And so when I was like 10 or 11, there used to be like a Cajun Creole restaurant near us, and they had fried green tomatoes on the menu. So I made my dad order it so that I could try it.
How did you like them?
It's delicious. It's just fried food, and you dip it in like a creamy, like, ranch type of sauce. Delicious.
Yeah,
everything
that sounds
fried
great.
Is pretty delicious. And you dip it in a sauce. So good.
You love sauce.
I
literally
love sauce. So I'm like, it's whatever it is, I don't care. It's a tomato. It's a vehicle for the sauce.
Exactly.
So I was into it. Okay, but my second question is, What is your favorite food of all time? And it's okay if you can't think of one. You can name multiple foods because it's really hard to pick this one.
Okay, that is true. Yeah. Food, I feel like that's what we have in common as well. We love food. We love foodies. All kinds of food. Yeah. I haven't really thought of it, I guess, since I've been vegetarian. Because before, my absolute all-time favorite food was either chicken flautas or chicken enchiladas. So now, moving from that, I want to say something that I've come to really like before because I've never made it. I would just have it. Would be mac and cheese.
Okay. Yeah. Mac and cheese when it's not like just like the Kraft mac and cheese. Like somebody that makes like the baked kind.
Yeah. And then since like Yami made it that one time and then I made it and then I made it again, I was like, wow, I can do this and I really like it.
Oh, yeah. Mac and cheese is good. Yeah, I love food. Have you ever had enchiladas with potatoes?
No, I've had like tacos de papa, but not.
Okay, well, if you like that, you might like making
eating enchiladas
with potatoes, because that's like, I think I told you this. Wa's mom made us so many potato enchiladas. And they're so good. I fucking love them. And she put like vegan cheese on them too a red sauce. Mm-hmm. But she always makes them with like potatoes and carrots. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I probably don't need any for like another year because she made us so many. We were like eating them. But we finished them all. I'm really proud. We also finished all the tamales that she made us.
Oh yeah, I was going to say,
For Christmas, she made us a giant like – I don't know how much this would weigh in pounds. At least 2 or 3 pounds pozole. Oh, wow. So vegan pozole. Mm-hmm. And then she made us like probably 2 dozen vegan tamales with like red sauce and soy.
Yum.
And I was really proud because we finished it all this year. Usually we don't finish it all. And then it's like the end and we're like, oh no, the pozole is going bad. Like we suck. But we like made it
It a mission, yeah.
Like we ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then that's the same thing we did.
Oh my God. Like,
I think around New Year's, I think on New Year's Day, she made us all of those potato enchiladas. So we were like eating them for a week.
Wow.
We're finally done. They're so good. But anyway, I thought you might like those because that's like one of Wa's favorite foods is because she loves enchiladas. So potato enchiladas. But okay.
Yeah, I haven't tried that. Yeah, I just usually do cheese now. Well, for Christmas, we did just like cheese because none of my family likes like any of the meat in there anyways. They just like cheese. So I was like, okay, fun. But I will try that.
I don't know. Potatoes are so good. Yeah. The other thing is the potato tacos are so fucking good,
too. Oh, my God, yeah.
So I love potatoes, but that's not my favorite food. My favorite food – okay, this is really hard, and I feel bad because it's – well, it's kind of specific, but this is so basic of me. But I love pizza. It's my favorite thing. I love pizza. And my favorite toppings are pineapples and jalapeno. So you get sweet and spicy. And it is also my wife's favorite. So it's like we knew we were meant to be together because I don't know anyone else that that's their favorite toppings.
But someone out there right now is like, pineapple should not be on pizza.
I hate that. It's so good. It's like the sweetness. And then every once in a while, if we're feeling fancy and we want to pay for another topping, we'll get red onions.
Oh.
So then it's such a colorful, beautiful pizza. And then my other favorite, I love so many foods, but I fucking love sushi. And so like usually once a year for my birthday, I might have mentioned this on another episode, we drive down because the closest like vegan sushi place is like 2 hours away. Or 3 hours away. So we like drive down there and I get like a buttload of sushi because it's like you can get vegan sushi anywhere. Mm-hmm. You could get an avocado roll or whatever, but it's like so basic. And like places in like bigger cities will have like they make like spicy tuna out of like pickled tomatoes and stuff. Like they're very like creative. And then also if you like the crunchy rolls, a lot of times at a non-vegan sushi place, there's weird stuff in the batter, like the tempura batter. They like add egg or whatever.
Oh,
so they don't do that at this place.
Okay.
So I love sushi. I love all types of sushi. I love Thai food. Like pumpkin curry is like my
Ever since we had that, I have been wanting to get it so bad.
It's so
the mock duck is really good too.
Okay,
I really liked that.
Okay, I do like mock duck in things when they have it as an option. I like to get it, but otherwise I'll just get tofu. Anyway, I love food. I'm surprised I didn't mention a sweet thing because I love sweet things too. I am really into banana pudding because so I never had it until we made it like a month or so ago. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. Then we made it again for Christmas. And so we probably can't make it for like a little bit.
Yeah.
I love
give it a break.
I love frosting. Sorry. Now I'm like, let me just tell you all the foods.
You're just listing all the food that you like.
Now I'm thinking about sweet things and I'm thinking it's like almost my birthday. And I think by the time this comes out, it will be like basically my birthday. I don't know. My birthday is February 9th. Okay. So if it's already passed, sorry guys, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be like almost my birthday when this comes out. So all I told my wife I want for my birthday is one of those cute, like heart-shaped, like vintage-y cakes. And I want it to be pink.
Yeah.
And then I like to have chocolate cake. I love chocolate cake with a buttercream frosting. Like, ooh. I fucking love frosting. And this is another reason that me and my wife are a perfect pair because she doesn't really like frosting and I don't like cake that much. So, like, we get a piece of cake and then I get so much frosting and I get her extra frosting and then she can have my extra cake part. So I just like the frosting.
Yeah. It's like the olive theory thing, right? Where it's like when one person loves olives and the other one hates it and it's like –
She does hate olives.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
And I love olives, but I've never heard this theory.
Yeah, it was like, oh, they hate olives. I love olives. So, like, when we go out, I get the olives.
Oh, like, also I don't know if this is a thing, but I'm thinking, like, when you get a sandwich and it comes with a pickle on the side.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is great because I used to not like pickles, but now I like them. My taste buds change, and now I'm a pickle girl. I feel like Snooki. Like, I'm like, wow, I just love to eat pickles all the time.
I just love pickles.
Yeah. Anyway, food is good. Point is, I can't really pick a favorite thing, but pizza has been, like, my top thing for a long time. So I'm going to get a pizza tattoo eventually because of how much I love it. I just don't have one yet.
It's in the works.
So do you have a hot take or a burning desire for this movie?
I really wish that they were together in this movie. Like there was – I wish that they had shown it a little bit more. But I feel like it was a very big movie, very mainstream, like you said.
Yes, it had Kathy Bates in it, which – She's a big deal always, but
So I can see why they were like, okay, we can't go so far with like the lesbians.
Yeah.
We only can give them a little bit. They'll read into
it. There's just the sapphic subtext and that's enough for 1991.
Exactly. So that's what I wish, that there were more scenes with them. What about you?
Okay. I have so many thoughts because I really fucking love this movie and I really love the book. And something that I want to say that's not really a hot take, but I just was thinking about it the other day and I think it's really important. Mm-hmm. I think this needs to be remade as a miniseries
and it would be gay. That would be so cool.
Because they did that with A League of Their Own. And unfortunately, because homophobia, it only got one season, even though it was really fucking good.
Yeah. But my God, Roberta.
Yes. I love her. Okay, she could be in this.
She
could
be in here,
I think that it needs to be made into like a mini series or potentially an ongoing series. Because the thing is, this story spans so many like decades. So really, like, you could make this go on for a lot of seasons.
We
could
have every gay person in this series playing the old versions and the young versions.
We need to. I don't know that Tello makes shows. They only make movies, but I'm like, will you reach out to Tello?
You should give them this prompt.
Like you guys. I know. I'm like, I'll write it for you and everything. Not that I've ever written anything like, no, but I you're can do the, it.
Yeah,
I'm
that's a, true. You could.
I'm an expert on Iggy and moves, okay? So that was something I just wanted to say, but I wanted to also say that I love that this movie centers on the importance of why am I want to cry again? I love that it focuses on the importance of love, whether it's romantic or friend love, because they chose to show them as like best friends in this, but they had this really special connection, but also they show this very special emotional connection between Evelyn and Ninny.
Yes.
So in the like 80s part, not in the 20s and 30s part, there's this very cool intergenerational friendship with like a woman that is like in her 40s and a woman that is in like her 80s. And then they're like best friends. And she like,
they help her. Like she helps find herself.
Yes. I love it so much.
Okay. But I also think about the Saran wraps.
Oh my God. I know. Okay. That was funny too. I think I did write about it in my recap. The other thing that I really want to talk about, because I think this is like a commonly misunderstood or potential for misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And I think they did it on purpose, and I think it's stupid, okay, in my opinion.
Okay.
Did you feel like they were trying to tell us that maybe Ninny is Iggy at the end?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but in the book, she's a totally different person. So I thought it was stupid that they did that, because they make it like, maybe we'll see her again. And then she's like, yeah. And like, it makes it seem like she's her. And I looked it up, and many people took it that way.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the, like, I don't think it was meant to, I think it was meant to leave like a mystery. Like, oh my God, is she Iggy? Okay. But like in the book, she's a completely different person. They do give you an update on Iggy, and she's like selling things on the side of the road at like a farm stand, and she's still butch as fuck.
Like
they have a totally different thing. So I like that they made sure you knew that Iggy was alive at the end, because even in the book, she like lives a long time.
Yeah.
But Ninny is actually the sister-in-law.
Okay, you know what? Yeah. See, though, I didn't read the book. So
I know. So that's why totally when I had saw the movie,
I was like, oh, I like that they did that. Like, making it seem that that is her, you know? Yeah. And she's, like, retelling this story. But I also like the book version.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, because that's how I took it. When I had only seen the movie, I took it, especially because there's a part where they show in Ninny's nursing home room, she has a lot of pictures of the people she talks about, and she has a big framed picture of Ruth. So I was like, yeah, because that's her wife. And so I feel like they, I don't know. I just don't get why they did that. And I know that Fanny Flagg, who's the author, was a part of the screenwriting. So I maybe guess she was okay with it,
she or
maybe they were like, this will draw more people in if there's like, oh, wait, at the end, like, does that mean this?
That's true.
I don't know. I just thought it was weird. anywho, those are a lot of thoughts that I have. I don't know if any of them are interesting, but they are to me. So I am super excited to go on our little breaky and then come back and talk about it. So we will take our little break. We'll come back for the recap. Try not to text your ex situationship while we're gone.
Welcome back to But I'm a Lesbian. This week we are discussing fried green tomatoes, brought to you by Caitlin.
Yes! Okay, so excited. I almost burped in my own excitement. It was like a weird silent burp. Sorry if anyone could hear it. Okay, so we're watching the movie. We open on an old car being pulled out of a body of water. Mm-hmm. And it looks very... I really like the word old, because I said it again. I was like, it's an old car and it looks very old and rusty. And then we see train tracks. And then we see this town that looks like a ghost town. It's like abandoned and overgrown. Mm-hmm. And we see a man at a payphone there. And I really wanted to ask you, if have you ever used a payphone?
Yes, when I was younger.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, because my parents obviously are older, so they always used it, and they had always talked about it, and I was like, oh my God, I want to try using one. And then they were like, well, they look really fucking dirty now. But they were like, sure. And I remember my mom was like, all right, go ahead. She didn't actually let me make a call, but I pretended that I was making a call. But she just wiped it down, because the one that we used was at the 7-Eleven and it was really nasty. And then I was like, oh my God. And then, yeah, she's like, no, we're not wasting money on the actual call. But I got to use it. And that's I pretended that I was calling my friend.
Aww, I was like, so cute.
What about you?
Yeah, I've used a lot of payphones because I'm old.
You're not old.
Okay, but I was in the era of payphones.
Okay.
So first of all, something I want to talk about payphones is there was this movie that I used to be obsessed with called Phone Booth that starred Colin Farrell in a phone booth. Have you seen it?
I don't know if I have. I don't think so.
It's from like 2002 to 2004-ish. I don't know.
Wait, does he play like a hero in this? Like someone's calling him about like this threat and he's like in the phone booth?
Like he's like a regular guy, I think, but he like answers the phone and then the person's like, I'm a sniper and I have this at you.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
I think I have. Okay.
So something else. I like that movie. And I used to be really obsessed with Colin Farrell when I was younger, and I'm pretty sure he's queer. Isn't he like about that? Hasn't he said, well, maybe he's like, know. What's the guy with the cute little messed up teeth? The one from the Venom. What's his name?
Oh my God. Like, no, I know his name. Hold on. I know his name. What's his name?
I don't know. Wall loves him. Is it Tom?
No, what's his name? Oh my God. He said he hasn't had gay sex before.
Like, of course I've had gay sex. I'm an actor.
What's his name?
I don't know, but
Charlie,
Colin
no.
Colin Farrell makes me think of him because I thought Colin Farrell said something similar. Like,
where he's like, yeah, of course I've had men.
I don't know. Maybe I made it up. But I did see a movie that Colin Farrell was in the early 2000s where he was like sort of gay.
Charlie hooked up with his friend.
I want to say, I keep thinking Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. It's Tom Hardy.
I was like, Tom Holland.
Thank you.
That's the wrong guy. Okay. Yes. Tom Hardy. Okay.
Tom Holland Spider-Man.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. Okay. Did we talk about how I get Tom Holland and Josh Hutcherson confused?
That's funny. But they kind
of. So now I'm going to get all three of them confused because. Okay. Anyway, point being.
No, Colin Farrell isn't gay. We're being fact checked.
Oh. Well,
it's
in
okay,
my
but
mind,
Tom Hardy is. So.
Yes. Tom Hardy is open to experiences. I think.
Yes. As a true actor. Oh, he's an ally, though. We love that.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, you know what else I really like about Colin Farrell is that he has been like very, a very big advocate for autism because he has an autistic son. And I just think he seems like a good dad. Like, why? Am I going to start bleeding soon? I can't stop crying. Okay. So anyway, so then the man is at the payphone and he's calling someone. Mm-hmm. And his wife, who is Kathy Bates, her character's name is Evelyn Couch, is sitting in the car and she's looking at the abandoned town. And there's a restaurant there called the Whistle Stop Cafe. So she's like looking at it. And then she's just like, hanging out. And then we hear like a train go by. And then we realize that they were lost trying to get to the husband's aunt's nursing home. So they ended up in this like ghost town basically. Mm. And he was probably calling for like directions. Mm. Because back in the day, you didn't even have MapQuest. You definitely didn't have GPS. Yeah. So you had
a regular
somewhere
map
to call and then no cell phones for sure. Yeah. And he's like kind of like annoyed at Evelyn. He's like, you told me to turn right when blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
well, who's driving, sir?
I know.
You are.
you're the one that got us lost, sir. And so then they get to the nursing home and the aunt kicks Evelyn out of the room. She does not like her. And so the husband is like, well, you just go to the waiting room while I hang out with my aunt, I guess. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, whatever. So she goes to the waiting room and she meets this nice old lady that lives there. And the lady just starts talking to her out of nowhere. And I love it. And this is me as an old person.
she starts randomly talking.
She literally is like, I had my gallbladder taken out. Did you know? Like, have you had your gallbladder taken? Like, she's like telling her all this personal stuff. And I'm like, I love this woman. So we find out that she is Mrs. Threadgood or Ninny Threadgood. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I'm just visiting here. Like, I'm just here for like my friend that lives here. So I'm staying here for her. And I'm like, okay, but like, you're also really old. You probably kind of do belong
probably,
here.
Yeah.
But
she's telling herself that.
Yes. Yeah. But you know, she doesn't really seem to have like dementia. Like a lot of, like I thought at the beginning, I was like, oh, she doesn't know what's going on. Cause I've worked at nursing homes and a lot of people think
they say that. They
like
say,
that.
Yeah.
But it's
like,
no, you've lived here for like 5 years. Like they just don't remember or they don't want to think it, which is another sad thing that's gonna make you cry. And so she's like, yeah. Hi, new friend, Evelyn. Did you know I'm from this town called Whistle Stop? And have you ever been there? And she's like, oh, my God. I think I was just there. Like, I got lost. Like, we were, like, passing through there. And she's like, oh, have you ever heard of Iggy Threadgood? And she, like, wants to tell her the tales of Iggy Threadgood. She's like, yeah, she was my sister-in-law. I was married to her brother. Mm-hmm. And she ran the Whistle Stop Cafe with her friend, Ruth. Friend, in quotation marks. She doesn't do that, but
it was more than her friend. Her
special friend. And so then she's like, yeah, I don't know how anyone could have believed that Iggy killed that man. That's crazy. And so Evelyn's like, what? And so then she's like drawn in because I feel like at first she's like, okay, this lady's just going to keep talking to me. And then she's like, a murder mystery? Like, I am locked in. And so then we kind of go back in time because obviously Ninny is telling the story, but we're like seeing it like acted out, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're now back in time in like the teens, the 19 teens. And we see that one of the Threadgood sisters is getting married, mm-hmm. and she's whining because Iggy, who was like a kid at the time, mm-hmm. doesn't want to wear a dress. So we already know that Iggy is like kind of like tomboyish, mm-hmm. because that's literally the beginning of what we're told about her. She doesn't want to wear a dress. She runs into the treehouse and takes off the dress because I think some of the brothers laughed at her when yeah. she put it on or whatever. And then her big brother Buddy like has to talk her down because he's like her like special. Like there's a lot of siblings, but they have this special bond. Like
yeah.
basically what it seems like is that like she really looked up to him. Like she wanted to be just like him.
Yeah.
And so he was like a teenager and she was like, I don't know, 10 maybe? I yeah. can't really tell. And so he tells her this story about oysters, and I said, that is very lesbian.
Oysters are lesbian.
Yeah. I mean, did you see Ratched?
Yeah.
The Ratched? Oyster scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was I mean, and Tipping the Velvet, the one girl is an oyster shucker. Mm-hmm. Also, obviously, we can see what an oyster kind of looks like, and then yeah. it has like a pearl.
I think of your highlighter.
Oh, yeah. My vagina yes, it looks like an oyster. So anyway, point being, I thought it was funny that that's the story he chose to tell. And then Iggy says, God may have made a mistake. And I think she is hinting at that she, if this was now, she mm-hmm. would have maybe been like non-binary or trans because yeah. she's saying that like she doesn't want to do these things that she has to do because she's a girl and yeah. she thinks God made a mistake. And he's like, God doesn't make mistakes. But I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And so then she ends up going to the wedding in a cute little suit. So I think it's so sweet that yeah. they're like, okay, you can wear this little suit. And then we see Buddy and Iggy playing and we learn that he is in love with Ruth, mm-hmm. who is played by Mary Louise Parker,
yeah.
who is from Weeds.
She's so beautiful.
She is so beautiful.
I thought you were going to say something bad about her. I was like, no, what does she do?
No, I don't know anything bad about her. She's very, I think she's straight, but she is a really big ally because she was also in this miniseries, Angels in America, mm-hmm. which was, I don't know if you saw, it was about AIDS and like the epidemic of AIDS.
Oh, from what I know she's an ally.
Yeah, but I did really like Weeds. That's yeah. what I knew her from. And so we see all three of them go on this little walk in this like, I don't know what you would call it. It's like a levee area, a water. There's like a waterfall, but it's okay. not like a natural waterfall.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. They're going on a walk. And then Iggy grabs Ruth's hand. And so that's like, okay, she like likes her, but does she like her as like, she's going to be my sister-in-law because yeah. my brother loves her, whatever. Then we see Ruth and Buddy making out, but her hat flies off in the wind because she had one of those big 1910s yeah. type of hats. And so Buddy is like being a gentleman. So he goes to get her hat on the train tracks and then he gets hit by a train and dies. So what the fuck?
So it's so fucking sad.
So sad.
It's like cute, semi-gay, and then tragedy.
Yes, it's so sad. So I was like, yes, everyone is very sad, especially Iggy. And then we go to the funeral and we see Iggy running through the trees being emo. And then
she's being emo.
And then she starts camping out by the river. She's like, I won't live in my house anymore. I live down by the river
yeah.
Because my brother died and I'm sad. And she doesn't let anybody talk to her except for Big George, who is a friend of the family. I think that he kind of works for them because they're not like a rich white family, but this is also like Alabama in the 1910s. Yeah. And I think that something we see later is that Iggy is not racist, but it's kind of a big deal that she's not racist because it seems like everybody else is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that makes
big
that tracks, right?
For, yeah.
yeah.
And so Big George is the only person that she will like talk to, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Sipsy is another character we will see. She is Big George's mom. So she's another character that is like a big part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And Evelyn's husband, okay, we're back in regular time because it gets interrupted because Ed, Evelyn's husband, mm-hmm. comes in, is like, we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, okay, but I want to come back and visit you, Nitty. Mm-hmm. So that's sweet. And then we move to seeing Evelyn at like a women's group of some sort. Mm-hmm. So just so you know, I don't think I specified, but like it's in like 19, like mid to late 80s mm-hmm. in the time where Kathy Bates, Evelyn Couch is. And then, you know, we're going back to the mm-hmm. teens and stuff. But it's in the 80s. It's not like present day. and so we see Evelyn's at a women's group and someone is teaching them about how to put the spark back in their marriage. And she's imagining herself making a fancy meal for Ed and wrapping herself up in a dress, like a saran wrap dress yeah. and trying to look sexy for him. And then she like opens the door and he's like, are you crazy? Blah, blah, blah. And so she doesn't do that, but that totally is the same reaction that he would have, which is yeah. sad. And instead of actually doing the cellophane thing that night, she just makes him dinner and brings him beers. Mm-hmm. But he just takes it to the living room. So she like made dinner and like put it on the table, like wanted to like hang out with him and bring yeah. the spark back. But he just wants to go watch sports in the living room and eat his food. And he kind of like ignores her. So that's sad. We see that she is like very sad. I don't know that they necessarily mention it, but she does have like an adult son. Yeah. I think son, adult child that has moved out. Yeah. So that's also, I think, something that is weighing on her. Like mm-hmm. now the kid is grown and they are growing apart. And so they kind of mention it a little bit later. But so then the next week, they go back to visit the aunt. And of course the aunt is like, I don't want you in here, you bitch. And like knocks her out. Like, no, she kicks her out of the room. And so she's like, whatever, I'm going to hang out with my friend, Mrs. Threadgood anyway. So she goes to the waiting room and, Mrs. Threadgood / Ninny starts talking about how much she misses home and she misses having fried green tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe. And, then we go back in time again and we see grown-up Iggy visiting her brother's grave. So I think she's a grown-up, but I think she's like 17. Like she's like
that's grown-up for them.
Yeah, like it's like I think she I don't think that many years have passed, you know yeah. what I mean? But it's like she's like a teenager
she's older,
or a
yeah.
very young adult. I don't know. So we can tell, you know, she never got over Buddy dying and mm-hmm. she lived by the river for years. At some point, her mom sent for her, like, can you get asked Big George or somebody, like, can you tell Iggy to come up to the house? Mm-hmm. So she goes up, and on the way, she meets this asshole named Frank Bennett, and he hits on her, and she's not having it. He asks, like, what her name is, and she says it's Tawanda, so she doesn't want to tell her real name. And then she finds out that Ruth is staying that summer. So Ruth is staying. She's going to, like, teach Bible school or something yeah. to the kids. But she's staying there for the summer because Ruth was from out of town, okay? And yes. so Ruth is back. And so Ruth comes out and says hi to Iggy, but Iggy just like walks away. And so then Big George drives Ruth to the River Club where Iggy hangs out, which in the book, there's this like sexy redhead that I think they kind of have in the movie, but she has like short like finger wave mm-hmm. hair. She was fucking Buddy and Iggy. She's fucking everybody. So I just wanted you to know that it was pretty clear. They said something in the book like she comforted Iggy the same way she would comfort Buddy. And I was like, oh, with
you can read
vagina.
Between the lines.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. So anyway, so the River Club is kind of a scandalous place. People be drinking, they're doing sex stuff, they're yeah. gambling. So this is not a place for like this church lady Ruth to be, but she's going there because she's like, I need to go get Iggy because her mom basically had her come to town to like try to get Iggy to yeah. be part of the family again. And so she tries to force Iggy to come home for dinner. And then she like gets in the car and she gets out of the car, whatever. It's dramatic. She doesn't come. Ruth loves church and Iggy doesn't. And we see this when I think it's like the next day or a few days later, Ruth is at church and Iggy rides by in like the back of a truck and they're like heckling the preacher, mm-hmm. like just like yelling while he's preaching.
Yeah.
And then later that day, Ruth goes to find Iggy while she's fishing and she's like, please give me a chance to get to know you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, fine. Let's go hop on trains. That's what I like to do. And so they get into a train car and it starts moving. And Ruth seems scared, but, like, also kind of excited. Like, I don't know. She's, like, so – she's a good actress. Like, the way when people – I feel like I can always tell when people are, like, a good actor because mm-hmm. you can read their emotions with their face, mm-hmm. which is also goes back to how maybe actors shouldn't get so much Botox and stuff because then they can't move their face as well and you can't tell the emotion, you know? But – you can tell the emotion, right? Like, she's like, I'm scared, yeah. but also like, am I,
this is fun.
Am I like turned on? What do I yeah. feel? And so she's really good at acting. Okay. So then, we see Iggy throw food out to the people that lived like in tents by the tracks. So basically mm-hmm. she's like Robin Hood. She's yeah. like stealing from the rich. I mean, whoever can order all this food, mm-hmm. whatever companies, and giving to the poor. Mm-hmm. And then Ruth at first says something like, oh, that's not your food to give or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I thought you want to help people, like you're, you know, yeah. a Jesus person. So then she starts throwing food to the people
Ruth's
too.
Like, you're right.
And, yes. And she looks like she's having so much fun, right? Because yeah. she's like, oh my God, I really like can help people and I can see them like being so happy mm-hmm. directly. And then Iggy is like, okay, time to jump off. And Ruth is like, what the fuck? You want me to jump? And she's like, what did she say? She said something like, you're never going to jump or something. Mm-hmm. And then Ruth is like, never say never to me. And yeah. she jumps. And then Iggy's like, oh shit. So then Iggy has to jump out. And then she like hurts her ankle jumping out. And Ruth like helps her walk 2 miles to the doctor. Cause mm-hmm. she's like, you have to go to a doctor. And she's like, the closest one is 2 miles. And she's like, well,
it's actually kind of
yes. I mean, especially, well, at first Iggy was like, you're going to carry me. And she's yeah. like, no, you're going to walk yourself. And she like puts her arm around her, like people yeah. do with a drunk person. And it's like, you know, like we're going to walk there. And so then another day we see Iggy stealing car keys from one of the other brothers. And taking Ruth on a date. I mean, it's a date. They go to a picnic together, a mm-hmm. romantical picnic. And she took the keys from her brother so nobody else can be there. You know, this is mm-hmm. a private picnic. and then Iggy goes to a tree that is like covered in bees and reaches her hand in and gets fresh honey for Ruth. Mm-hmm. And Ruth is very impressed, but like also scared. And honestly, I think she was like, oh my God.
She's this like so hot.
Why do I feel this way? Like I feel a little tingly. and so she is like, you're just a bee charmer, Iggy Threadgood.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, she loves her. They're going to sex. Okay. And I was like, it's so flirty. There's a lot of that lesbian eye contact.
Yeah.
And then she tries to get the honey like out with her fingers, which is also very gay. They're yeah. like dipping your fingers in the honey jar. I don't know.
Oh my God, the honey pot makes me think of Go Fish.
Yes. Okay. See, it was so lesbian. And then we see them go to the River Club after and they look so cute, like a little couple. And Iggy has her arm around Ruth. Yeah. And then later that night, they go swimming in the river in their undergarments. And then...
Scandalous.
Yes. And then Ruth tells Iggy that she's getting married when the mm-hmm. summer ends. And Iggy's so sad.
She's like,
you're getting
fuck.
Married. Yeah. So that's really sad. And then she kisses Iggy's cheek and just like goes back in the water. And then we like kind of move forward like a lot. We see that Ruth moved to Georgia and got married. She invited Iggy, but Iggy didn't come. But they do show Iggy, like, watched from afar as, mm-hmm. like, her husband took her into her new house, like, carried her over the threshold and yeah. stuff. And it's, like, that's so sad because, obviously, she loved her and she wanted to be the one to marry her and carry her over the threshold into their house. And it's so sad because she had to watch this stupid man do it, who we then find out is a terrible, terrible man.
Yeah.
So then... we go back to the 80s. So we're in the future-ish now again. And we see Evelyn is at a women's group where they are all going to look at their vaginas with mirrors.
I remember that scene so vividly. Yeah. I was like, what are they doing? And I was like, well, she's like, yeah. they're looking at themselves. You know, it's something that women can do. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I definitely went and together? Did that after I read it. Not with other people, but I like went in the bathroom
and did
that. No,
I meant like when
yeah.
I was telling my mom, I was like, oh, yes. they do it together? Like it's a group thing? And she was like, yes.
Maybe I would like this. I don't know.
I think I remember asking her, have you done that? She's like, all right, let's watch the movie. I was like, I thought there was something that like, you do as an adult.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Because it's so funny when you're a kid and you see things because you're like, oh, just all adults do that?
Yeah. I was
like, that's like a rite of passage.
Yeah. No. I was like, so I have to do that when I get older too?
Yeah, you have to. Okay. And then
you
I'm,
said you did that?
Well, yeah, I did it. I went in the bathroom by myself mm-hmm. and I got my mom's like bigger hand mirror because mm-hmm. I was like, well, now I'm interested. I guess that's true. I don't really know what it looks like because yeah. you can't really see it like yourself. Like, yeah. I mean, I guess if you're like really flexible.
I was going to say, like, yeah.
So I remember doing that. And I was like, I remember my mom saying this, which I think is something that people were taught. But like she would say like that vaginas are so ugly and she thinks that it's so gross. And I was like, I remember having that idea of that it should be ugly and gross. And I was like, why is this part of me ugly? Like, what is ugly about this? Whoa,
did you think it was ugly when you first saw it? Or were
you
like,
I thought it was weird because I was like, I had no idea what it looked like down there because I could only see like the front part. And so I was like, there's so many folds. I was like, what? This is crazy. And I was really little because I didn't have hair yet. Like, I remember.
Oh, okay.
I either watched the movie with my mom or I read it, but it was, I remember it.
Being like, whoa.
I was very little, like eight. I don't know. Anyway, so they are like, she seems freaked out. Evelyn is like freaked out by it. Oh, yeah. Would you do this with a group of friends? That's what I put in as a question.
Well, I guess I jumped the gun with that. I feel like that is something very empowering to do, especially I think a lot of the women in the class had never done that before, right?
Yes, and they were probably like, so they were like, and had whoa. Kids and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, okay, it's time to take a look down there. Like, what does she look like? There's also a video, too, of, like, friends see each other's vaginas for the first time or something.
And oh, my God.
Like, it was, like, a cut video, and they were, like, doing it, and everyone was like, oh, my gosh, she's cute. Like, what? You know?
That
like,
is so funny.
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen those videos of, like, friends seeing each other's boobs for the first time, and I'm like, okay, like, that's cute. Yeah, I don't know. That is so funny, though, because, okay, something I've been seeing, like, the last few like months or years on TikTok is people being like, is it bubblegum pink? I bet it's bubblegum pink. Have you seen this? This
yes,
is like
I have.
The thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's giving racist to me.
Yeah. Like not everybody's vagina is pink.
Yes. And why would that be like the best, the thing that everyone should be aspiring to? That's really weird. I didn't like that. Anyway, I said, I love my vagina, but I think I would feel awkward with a bunch of people around in a room.
Maybe it has to be strangers.
Yeah, and then you're like,
but I think this is my vagina.
I don't know. I'm like going to ask Wah, like, cause I know she would never do it. But if I was like, I'm going to go to my women's club and we're going to all just sit, I feel like she would be like, that's weird, babe. Don't do that.
She's like, no, I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know what she would say. So anyway, they're like, she's seeming awkward and somebody says like, what, do you have like a problem with your vagina? And she's like, no, I have a problem with my girdle. Cause it's like, she had like a whole thing on. And so she leaves and she goes home and she makes Ed dinner and he goes to the TV again. And she tells him she wants to go on vacation, like to where they went when they were younger on their honeymoon or something. And he's like, not very receptive. So it's like, this is just another example of we're seeing that she is like feeling kind of sad and disrespected basically. Yeah. Like he's not paying any attention to her. Then we see another day she goes to the nursing home and Ninny has purple hair now, which is so cute.
Yeah.
And, she's like, yeah, I don't know. This little bitty thing from the beauty college did it. Didn't she do a good job? and so then, Evelyn can like basically not contain herself. She's like, I need to learn more about Iggy. Can you tell me more about Iggy? Like, she's like, tell
she's like,
me
I
more.
I need to know.
And Ninny is very excited to tell her. So then we go back in time and we see that Iggy went to Valdosta, Georgia, which is where Ruth was. She went there after a few years of Ruth being married to check in on Ruth. And she drove to the house and knocked on her door. And Ruth's mom is living there. Ruth's mom answers the door and she's like, who are you? And she's like, well, just tell her Bea Charmer from Alabama is here. And I was like, oh my God, it's so cute and flirty. I don't know. Anyway, and so the mom is like, Ruth, some bee person is here. And then Ruth comes to the door and she keeps trying to hide her black eye.
Yeah.
She's only looking at her from like the side.
She's like, oh, hey.
Yeah. And Iggy totally notices it. And she's like, what the fuck did he hit you? I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
And Ruth is like, if you care about me, just leave. Like, she doesn't want her to get involved.
Yeah.
And Iggy's really upset, but she leaves. And then Frank runs down from the upstairs, I guess, and he's just being a hater as she drives away. I don't remember what he said, but I said he was being a hater. He might have just looked at her hatefully. I don't know. And then that night, Iggy's at the River Club, and she's talking to her friend Grady, who obviously has a crush on her, and he is a cop. And he tries to get her to dance with him, and she's like, ew, no, what the fuck? And then he, like, picked her up and spun her around, and I didn't like that. I was like, he did not have consent.
Yeah.
But I feel like at the time it was like, oh, haha, that's so cute and funny. Yeah. I'm like, you can't pick people up just because she's a woman. Okay, so then a little bit later, a letter comes from Ruth to Iggy's family. Mm-hmm. It's a clip out from the newspaper of her Ruth's mom's obituary. Mm-hmm. And Ruth put like a little quote from the Bible in there. Mm-hmm. And it says, "Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy mm-hmm. people shall be my people." Mm-hmm. So it's like she's asking Iggy to come save her. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like, oh, okay. So Iggy is like, okay, yeah, she wants me to come save her.
Iggy's like, on my way.
Don't worry, I will go get my woman. So then she pulls up to the house in Valdosta with one of her brothers and Big George. And she goes into the house to get Ruth. And Ruth is like, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, this reminds me of disobedience.
I know.
And so Iggy and the guys are moving all the stuff into the car. And then Frank gets home while this is happening, which mm-hmm. is really bad because mm-hmm. we know he's abusive because she had a black eye. Right?
Yeah.
And then he grabs Ruth and he starts hitting her and Iggy jumps on him and is like hitting him. Mm-hmm. And then I think he like does the thing where he like runs into the wall. Yes. So she's like on his back trying to hit him. Mm-hmm. And now they're both fighting him and he picks Ruth upstairs or he picks her up and takes her upstairs. But then the guys come in and threaten him and they say that Big George is crazy and Big George has a knife. So
mm-hmm.
yeah. Okay, so since he saw that Big George is like really big, that's why his name is Big George,
literally.
And he has a knife, he's like scared. So yeah. he puts Ruth down and acts like he's gonna let her go, but then he kicks her down the stairs and he's such a fucking dick.
I know.
And he's so sad. Also, he knows she's pregnant. So
I
feel like
he's
trying to make her like miscarry because he doesn't care about a child, really. Mm-hmm. He just wants her to be sad.
Yeah.
And Iggy tells Frank that if he ever touches Ruth again, she will kill him. Mm-hmm. And then we're back in the 80s, and Evelyn is at the store with her friend, and she's like, I'm not going to go to a women's group anymore. And then a teenager runs in front of her for no reason and is like, screw you. And then she follows him and is like, why are you being rude to me? And he's like, whatever, you old cow. You old bitch. Yeah, he calls her a fat cow and an old bitch. And then he drives away. And then her grocery bag rips and it's raining and all the stuff's on the ground. And she's like really upset. And then she goes to see Ninny and she's like, I'm just feeling like so useless and powerless. And I literally like can't stop eating. Like I'm getting like so fat, which is also like when we talked about diet culture in the other mm-hmm. episode, it's also very like she's like
obsessing
over like her weight and they're making a point. Also something I thought – I'm that person that's like, in the book, Mrs. Threadgood, Ninny, was like big.
Okay.
She was like tall and like chunky.
Okay.
And so I thought it was funny that they picked kind of
like
a skinny little woman to play
her.
Because
so
I was
tiny.
Like, the point was she was also like bigger. Anyway, so she's like, Ninny's like, girl, I'm pretty sure you're going through menopause. That's why you're feeling all these emotions. Like, you need to go to the doctor and tell him to put you on hormones and you'll feel better. She's like, I was, like, having a lot of problems when I went through the change, too. And so she's like, oh, huh. And then Ninny tells her, when I was about your age, I had my child. And then I went through menopause right after. So mm-hmm. we're like, oh, we didn't know she had a child. And also we didn't. Now we know she had a child at, like, an older age.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that he had special needs. His name was Albert. And the doctor said, you probably should just put him into an institution because mm-hmm. he's going to be a lot of work. And she was like, he was the joy of my life. And he lived for 30 years. And like, she can't wait to get to heaven to see him again. I was like, oh, God.
This movie's so sad. Genuinely.
God, okay. This slit in my skirt is being a little crazy right now. Okay. So then we go back in time. We see Ruth just had the baby mm-hmm. and Iggy like runs out of the room where she was having the baby at the house and is like, it's a boy. And Iggy and all her friends are cheering.
That's a proud mother.
Oh, I was like, dad. I was like, she smokes a cigar. I was
she's
like she's
yes.
being such a dad right now. She's like, oh, my
she's
wife
the daddy
just had
that
our
stepped
baby.
Up.
Yes. And so they name the baby Buddy Jr., which is so sweet.
That is really sweet.
And then Iggy and Ruth open the cafe. They open the Whistle Stop Cafe with help from Iggy's dad. And then Grady tells Iggy, you shouldn't be selling food or giving food to black people, by the way. People are getting mad.
Fuck him.
People in the Klan are getting mad. And she's like, I do whatever I want. And I love her. She's don't tell me what to do.
She's like, fuck you.
And she also is like, also, if all you boys in the KKK don't want people to know who you are, why do you always wear the same shoes so I know who you are? Basically, she's like, calls him out.
She's like, mm-hmm.
She's like, we're not stupid. So I was
and
like,
that makes sense that he's a cop because almost all cops are Nazis and racists.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they're bad. Yeah. So Big George then is like, well, Iggy, like, I don't want you to get in trouble, like, for having us, like, work here and, like, mm-hmm. giving food to us and the other people because, like, I don't want you to get in trouble. Yeah. And she's, like, not worried. But the thing is, she probably should be worried because it's most likely going to affect the Black people that she is trying to help more than it's going to affect her because those people are racist and they might be mean to her and Ruth, but they're white women. They're going to be, like, probably beating the shit out of or killing people like Big George and, like, his family. So, but I don't know. She's not thinking about that. She's like, they're going to leave me alone because I called Grady out. and then we see Iggy and Ruth feeding a homeless man named Smokey. So I just think that they're showing us that they love everybody. Mm-hmm. He is an alcoholic and he's like shaking and because he's going through withdrawals and Iggy gives him whiskey and they become friends. And Ruth is watching them talking out the window, like watching Iggy and Smokey talking. And she just has like so much love in her eyes when she's watching her. And I'm like, why is she such a good actress? Like,
she's amazing.
Yeah, she's looking at her with like so much love and admiration. Like, wow, I love that she just makes friends with everybody and she cares about everybody, you know? And then she lets him sleep in one of their like little outside building that they have. And Ruth comes and brings him a blanket. And then we go to the sex scene of the movie, which is this food fight scene. The director said that this was supposed to kind of be like the sex scene, the love scene, because they couldn't do that at the time. So they wanted to show their intimacy and like their like playfulness and whatever with like this food fight scene. So we see Ruth and Iggy in the kitchen and they get like... Okay, first Iggy feeds some of the fried green tomatoes she made to Ruth. And Ruth is like, that's like not very good. Like, you messed up. And then they get into a food fight and they're like smearing things on each other's faces. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's just very sexual. So they did a good job making this be the like love scene because I felt like it felt like there was like sexual tension. Like I was like, when are they going to kiss?
Very
like
intimate.
They were very close they to were each like, other. Yeah. And then they're like kind of rolling on the floor at some point and like playing and it's very cute. And I said they're very good actresses because the scene is so intimate and sensual and fun and I love it. And then in the front of the restaurant, Grady hears them playing and is like being a hater. And then he comes back there and is like, stop having so much fun. And then Ruth puts frosting on his face. So they don't take this guy seriously.
They're like,
at all.
Get the fuck out of here.
And then outside we see Frank Bennett watching the cafe and watching Big George chopping wood and he's being a hater. So we're like, okay, he knows where they are. He came to Whistle Stop and he's watching them.
Yeah.
And then that night the KKK comes to town and one of them comes in to the house and asks for the baby and it's obviously Frank.
Yeah.
And Sipsy is there and she tries to protect Ruth and the baby with a broom. So she's like holding the broom, like, I'm going to hit you with the broom or something. Mm-hmm. And then he takes it from her. And then Smokey, the unhoused man, comes in and Frank leaves because men only respect other men. Mm-hmm. So that was like obvious. He was going to boss these two women around and just take the baby or whatever. But now that there's a man there, he's like, oh God, my bad.
I'll
be back or whatever. I think he says something like that, but he leaves. And then... He tells Ruth he'll be back and he's going to take her and the baby back with him. Mm-hmm. And then we see that the KKK got Big George and they're whipping him, which is like, fucking Big George knew this was going to happen, Iggy. Anyway, then we see them come and break windows at the cafe and Iggy runs out to help George. And then Grady tells the KKK to let Big George be free and they should listen to him because he's the law around here and you boys aren't from here. So this is like the Klan from a different town or something. So it's probably the Klan from Georgia because Frank wanted to like come over there and whatever. And so anyway, Iggy gets home and Ruth tells her that Frank came in and saw Buddy. And Iggy's like, don't worry, he won't come back. And if he does, we'll take care of it. And so like a lot of time goes by. It feels like it's like months later. We see the Town Follies, which is a performance with Iggy and Grady in drag. And I like that they were both in drag because people have been doing drag forever. And then people now want to be like, oh, this drag is this new thing and it's like immoral. And it's like, it's literally been happening for so long.
Exactly.
Like, so weird. And so while they are performing, Frank shows up to the cafe with a gun and sees Sipsy with the baby. And I said, Iggy looks so hot in drag. So that's what I think. Anyway, Big George tells her she needs to get to the cafe quick. And before she can get there, Frank hits Sipsy with the gun and steals the baby. And Smokey stops him and knocks him out. But Iggy and George or someone secret hit him with a shovel. So we just see that Frank gets hit with a shovel.
Yeah.
And then we see Big George making meat the next day. I was like, this
I always thought that that was that they made him into like.
They did.
I know. But like. No, but I'm saying like.
Yeah.
But I just thought that like. When they show the next scene, like, you can tell that that's what, like,
I literally
happened. I'm like, yeah. But I remember watching it. I was just like, what happened? And I was like, think about it. Like, think about it. And I'm like, they wouldn't do that. She's like, yes.
I mean, he was a bad person.
Exactly. I'm like, that's so smart. They'll never know.
Yes. So I literally wrote, this is definitely human meat. And it is very smart because they will never find a body.
Exactly.
Because all the townspeople ate it.
Can you imagine that day? You're like, this tastes really different.
But I have heard that humans taste like pork. So that is why it's perfect that they were making like, oh, it's hog boil season or whatever. Because nobody, they're like, wow, this is the best barbecue pork singy I've ever had. So I guess it makes sense. So anyway, at the cafe, two cops from Valdosta, Georgia come in looking for Frank. And Ruth is like, okay, that's my husband, but I haven't seen him in months. And Grady tries to defend them by being like, aren't you guys all gay in Georgia? Like he says something weirdly homophobic and I'm like, okay.
Grady, what side are you on?
I know. I'm like, he thinks he's being helpful by like, I'm going to insult them by like being like, are you guys gay? I don't know. It's just so weird, but whatever. Then everybody's eating barbecue. One of the detectives ate barbecue. One of the detectives is trying to be all tough with Iggy and he's like, I know you threatened to kill Frank Bennett before. And she doesn't say anything. And I said, it's funny because he's literally eating him while he is talking about this. Then he goes and is being evil and racist at Big George and Sipsy's house. He's like threatening that they're gonna hang Big George. I think they're like, I think he's like, I know that you are trying to cover for Iggy and you're the one that's gonna die for this. At the cafe, Ruth and Iggy are talking and Ruth questions Iggy about where she's been. She tells Iggy that maybe she should leave Whistle Stop. Like, maybe I should move on because like I'm bringing a lot of drama and danger to you guys. And she's like, no, oh my God. She's like, don't leave. I'm obsessed with you. She won't tell Ruth where she was because she doesn't want Ruth to be implicated in a crime probably. So she's just quiet about it. And Ruth gives this long monologue and is basically like, I would kill Frank if he ever came around. And Iggy's like, well, you don't have to worry about him anymore. And she's like, you killed him, didn't you? And she's like, no. And Ruth just like leaves it at that because who fucking cares if she did or not? Like, he's a bad person. And back in the 80s, Ruth goes to the grocery store. Some little bitches steal her parking spot. She confronts them and they're like, whatever, we're like young and hot. And then she like rams their car multiple times and I love it. And then like they're like, oh my God. And she's like, I'm older and have better insurance. And like drives away. And I'm like, I love her. And so then she goes, she's trying to make healthy food. She's like working out. She's calling herself Tawanda the Avenger. That is her like new alter ego because of Iggy's alter ego, whatever. And she's trying to make healthy food for herself and Ed. And Ed is like being an asshole about it. It's like, whatever. He could be healthy too. He's probably gonna have a heart attack. He's like older and he eats really unhealthy things. Then she goes to visit Ninny again, and she brought her healthy food because before she was bringing candy every time. And she's like, I need you to tell me more about this story about Iggy. And so then we are back to the 30s, and 5 years have passed since Frank Bennett disappeared or whatever. And that one Georgia detective still comes and visits and is, like, obsessed with trying to find it. It's like, oh, my God, move on. I know. And Smokey's back in town. He, like, goes – he travels on the trains, right? So sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. I guess he's back in town during that time. And Ruth is teaching kids to read or like reading to them. So she's like so sweet, right? And then Buddy Jr. is running around having fun on the train tracks. And then he gets hit by a fucking train. And he
would think they learned their fucking lesson.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, seriously? His namesake got hit by a train. But luckily, he didn't die. He only lost his arm. And they had a funeral for his arm. And then Iggy starts calling him Stump. And Ruth is like, that's really mean. And she's like, no, you have to, like, you know, give him the nickname before other people make fun of him. Like, which also makes me think of, like, Mexican nicknames. Like,
yes.
Where it's like, let me find your biggest insecurity and I'm going to name you that.
And that's what you are.
Yeah. So sad. I could never. I am too thin of skin. I would be like, why are you calling me chunky all the time? So mean. Okay. So anyway, later that month, it rained so much, it flooded Whistle Stop and they found Frank's truck because it was like in the river or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we see the beginning part where the old car that was Frank's truck, it's being pulled out of the river. And Grady comes to talk to Iggy in private and he tells her, like, I have to arrest you and Big George for murder. But I wouldn't mind if you ran away in the night. Like, I could do it in the morning and you guys could just happen to not be here. Like, you know, but basically George wouldn't be able to get away. So she would have to be agreeing to let George take the blame for her. And she's not going to do that because she's not a shitty person.
Yeah.
And, so Iggy and Big George end up in the Valdosta County Jail, and then they go to trial for murder. And when Ruth is on the stand, they ask why she left with Iggy when she was pregnant. And she said, because she's the best friend I've ever had, and I love her. And then the Whistle Stop Reverend ends up getting them off for the murder charges because he's like, oh, they were at this church revival. Iggy and Big George were both there for multiple days. And he like swore on a Bible, but it wasn't a Bible. It was a copy of Moby Dick.
Yeah.
So that was their alibi and they get out. And then back in the 80s, Evelyn is losing it. She's yelling to Wanda and breaking down a wall in her house. And Ed is like, what the fuck? And then she confronts him about how he doesn't care about their marriage. All he cares about is watching TV. Mm-hmm. And then she goes and visits Ninny and meets Mrs. Otis's daughter-in-law. So Mrs. Otis was the friend that is also from Whistle Stop that is living there. And she tells Evelyn, like, it's kind of weird that Ninny told you she's going to go back home to Whistle Stop because her house literally doesn't exist anymore. Like, it was demolished. So that's really sad. No one told her. They didn't want to tell her because they knew she would be too sad. So it's like she still has this, like, hope that she's going to go home, but she literally can't go home because the house doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And then Evelyn goes in and she sees Ninny sleeping in the bed and she has framed pictures of Ruth and Iggy and everyone from the stories. So that goes to back that I felt like they were trying to make us think that Ninny was Iggy, but she's not. And then it's Ninny's birthday, and Evelyn made her fried green tomatoes, and that's really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts talking about how she can't believe she's 83. And then we go back in time, and we find out that right after the trial – oh, God. Ruth gets sick, and it ended up being cancer. And Sipsy took care of her, and Iggy kept hoping and praying for a miracle. And on her deathbed, Ruth asked Iggy to make sure Buddy graduates and to not let him come to her funeral. And Iggy just keeps being like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. But it's like she knows she's dying.
Yeah.
Like, and they both know that's not the truth. Buddy comes to talk to his mom and give her a kiss, and she tells him not to be sad. And Iggy tells Buddy that his mom is an angel masquerading as a person. And it's so sweet. God, how am I supposed to get through this? Okay. Iggy and Ruth talk alone, and Ruth tells Iggy she should settle down if she can find someone after she passes. And I think that was kind of sort of, I thought that was an interesting thing because I'm like, are they trying to be like, they're just friends, she should marry a man? Or are they trying to be like, a lot of people where they're like, you're still young, like, even though we're married, like, I want you to find somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, so then Ruth is like, tell me a story. And Iggy's like, you know, all those stories I tell are just lies. And she's like, I know, but tell me anyway. And so Iggy is like telling her this like crazy story about the how there used to be a lake and the it froze over and then birds flew away with it. Like, this silly story. And she's like, walking away and looking out the window while she's telling the story. And Ruth passes away as she tells her story. And then Iggy cries a lot and it's so sad. And then we go to the funeral and everyone's crying. And Smokey went to the funeral and they tell us how everyone that ever met Ruth was in love with her, including him. And then back in the 80s, Evelyn tells Ninny she's scared of death. And Ninny is like, there's nothing to be afraid of. And we see that Ed brought Evelyn flowers, which is sweet. And Evelyn is putting back the wall that she ripped down. I was like,
she was just her crutch.
Yes. I was like, she was just in a silly, goofy mood. She's fine now. And she tells him that she wants Ninny to come live with them. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what the fuck? He's like, that's never going to happen. Just forget about it. And she says, don't ever say never to me, which is like the thing that Angie mm-hmm. said to Ruth about, you're never going to jump out of there. Mm-hmm. And she leaves and goes to visit Ninny and sees that a nurse is taking all her stuff down. And the nurse is like, oh, yeah, the lady that lives in this room died this morning. And she's like, what the fuck? And she's like freaking out and crying. And then this other nurse comes in and she's like, no, her roommate died. Mrs. Otis died. And so Ninny checked herself out. She went back to Whistle Stop because yeah. she's always said she was going to go back to Whistle Stop. But then, of course, Evelyn is like, fuck, she doesn't know her house isn't there. So I got to get to Whistle Stop to like find her and tell her that I want her to live with me. And so Evelyn finds her sitting by herself on her suitcase in the little abandoned town. And she's in front of where her old house was. And she's mm-hmm. like, someone stole my house. So sad. And Evelyn's like, it's okay. No one stole it. They tore it down because it was condemned. And I'm sorry I didn't tell you. And she's like, I'm sad because I don't have anyone to look after now that Mrs. Otis died. And I've always had someone to look after. And Evelyn says, please come and look after me and Ed. And she says, okay, I'll go. And then she tells her the true story of what happened the night Frank Bennett disappeared, mm-hmm. Which is she learned through Sipsy. Sipsy told Ninny the story. So then we kind of see it happen. We go back to the 30s. We see Frank get out of the car with the shotgun again, and we see that Sipsy is the one that hits him over the head and accidentally kills him. Mm-hmm. And then Iggy, Sipsy, Smokey, and Big George are the only people that know, and Iggy was like, it's hog boiling season. You gotta make some good barbecue. You make the best barbecue in town. And so then we basically confirm that, yeah. right? And then we see that when the Georgia detective was eating, he tells Sipsy, this is the best barbecue I've ever had, and she says, the secret's in the sauce. And then in we go back forward. We go back to the 80s, and Ninny tells Evelyn that the most important thing in life is friends. And then they see Ruth's gravestone, and there's a note and a jar of honey that says, I'll always love you, the bee charmer. So we know that Iggy is still alive and also mm-hmm. loved her in a gay way.
Yes.
And then we hear Ninny explain that after Ruth died, the cafe shut down and everyone kind of scattered, and the cafe closing, the cafe had been what held the town together all those years. And then we see Ninny and Evelyn heading back to the car. And that's how it ends. I guess I didn't tell you the part where, because I think it's dumb, but after she finds the jar of honey,
yeah,
and it says it's from the bee charmer, Evelyn is like, Iggy's still alive? Mm-hmm. And Ninny's like, yeah. And she's like, maybe we'll see, or she's like, sometimes we see her around or something mm-hmm. like that. And she's like, maybe we'll see her today. And then she like kind of like almost like winks and is like, yeah, maybe. And that's yeah. why I feel like they were trying to make us think that she was Iggy, but she's not. But I just love lesbians.
I know.
Like, I know that there are straight people that would still come and visit the grave that often, but it just seems like such a gay thing to be like, I just bring her honey all the time and a note, even after, like, how many years? She died in, like, yeah. the 30s. So, like, 50 years later, she's still always going there. That's so sweet. Anyway. So, okay. I almost didn't do Munch Merch Murder because I was like, it's so sad. It's so sad because Ruth dies. But then I was like, well, you know, she's alive for like the majority of like the movie.
Yeah.
So the options for Munch Merch Murder are Iggy, Ruth, and Evelyn.
Yes.
Oh, what would you say?
I feel like ours are going to be the same. Yeah, probably. I'm going to merge with Iggy. Yeah. I'm going to munch Ruth. And I'm sorry, Evelyn. I'm going to murder you.
I know, same.
I know.
I feel bad for...
Me too, but she'll be happy with Ed, okay?
So yeah, she's okay. Really straight. Oh, yes. My God. Okay, yeah. I saw this TikTok. I don't think I sent it to you. Someone sent it to me. Mm-hmm. That was like a lady talking about going to a nursing home and this mm-hmm. old lady saying this really inappropriate thing to her. Did you see this?
No.
Oh, my God. The comments... The top comment was, ma'am, you met Iggy Threadgood. But basically what it was she's like, I walked in because I think she was like looking for a job at the nursing home or something. And there was like this little old lady like sitting up there like knitting or something. And she started talking to her and she's like, now, are you married? And she's like, yes. And she's like, man or woman? And she's like, a man. And she's like, oh, that's why you're fat. And she's like, what? And she's like, yeah. The women that marry men, they always get fat because men don't know how to suck the soul out of them. And she's like, what? Like, and she's like, yeah, if it was, you know, if I was your age, I was just like something like I was just like licking all the ladies and making them all come like crazy. Like,
oh my God.
Something weird. And the lady's like, oh, okay.
That's crazy. Oh my God.
And then she talked to one of the nurses there and she's like, oh, are you married to a man? And she's like, yeah. She's like, she said the same thing to me and all the other nurses that are married to men.
Oh my God.
I love this lady. She's like, ugh, why would you marry a man?
Oh my God.
I don't know. I thought it was so funny, but it was also extra funny that I happened to see it right before we were doing this episode.
I know.
And they're like, that was itchy. Okay. So I would do the same thing. Like I said, okay. I feel bad for Evelyn, but she's straight, so it's fine. And we are gonna rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 5. I'm gonna give it a 5.
I'm also gonna give it a 5.
Oh my God! fives across the board. It's so good. I love it. Okay, so if you're enjoying But I'm a Lesbian, please head over to our Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook and follow to stay up to date on our newest episodes and hottest takes. We're now accepting questions for our Dear Dykes advice segment. Please send in your dilemmas and get help from us, your favorite lesbian podcasters. There's a link to the Jot form in the description of this episode, as well as our link tree on all social media pages.
Welcome back. Today we are spilling some lukewarm lesbian tea in our literary lesbian segment.
Okay, yes. To me, it was still like dramatic news, so hopefully it will be for you, but all this stuff happened in the 70s and 80s, so I'm like, ooh. Like, a lot of people already know. I don't know. So, okay. When I knew we were going to do this movie, mm-hmm. I wanted to reread the book. Mm-hmm. And I thought I remembered hearing that the author, Fanny Flagg, was a lesbian in real life. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to Google it to make sure. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like me saying Colin Farrell's gay and he's not. And so, yes, Fanny Flagg is a lesbian. And she's still alive. She's like in her 80s now. She is Mrs. Threadgood age now. Anyway, so... the book, is called Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe. You should read it. So when I was looking her up just to find out if she was a lesbian, I found out some more interesting things. So basically I found out that she dated another famous author, Rita Mae Brown in the 70s. And Rita Mae Brown has written many books, but the most famous is Ruby Fruit Jungle, mm-hmm. which is very gay. And it was a really big deal when it came out because it came out in the 70s mm-hmm. and she talked about having sex with men and women. But mm-hmm. like that was dramatic in itself. But she also talked about liking having sex with women more. And the Ruby Fruit Jungle is like, it's referenced in the book because I just finished the book. And she talks about like, when she's having sex with a woman, she likes to imagine it as like a ruby fruit jungle. Like there's so many, I don't know, delicious fruits, so many things. Okay, so she's like, I love vagina. I love pussy. This is the vibe that I was getting. Anyway, So the reason I kept seeing things about Rita Mae Brown was because it said that they dated, but I also saw multiple articles that said that Rita outed Fanny. Mm-hmm. But I can't find anything that says how she outed her. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like because it was the 70s and she was seen with her a lot. And mm-hmm. then
they
people
assume,
knew
probably,
that Rita
yeah.
was a lesbian. So people just figured out that Fanny was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They lived together in the 70s. So they were more than roommates. Anyway. And Fanny has been out as a lesbian since that time. So, like, since the 70s mm-hmm. when this got found out. So their relationship didn't last very long. I think they were together for, like, a few years in the 70s. Mm-hmm. The book Ruby Fruit Jungle that Rita Mae wrote is based on her life. And she definitely had her share of lovers, mm-hmm. including a love triangle with tennis star Martina Navratilova and a beauty queen named Judy Nelson. Mm-hmm. She was giving Shane a little bit, and I told my wife that, and she's like, well, was she dating them all at the same time? And I'm like, okay, no, you're right. I think she was just like a serial monogamist.
Yeah.
But it feels like she was like the hot, like, lesbian at the mm-hmm. time. I don't know. Okay, so basically, so Martina is a famous tennis player, and Rita and Martina lived together from 1979 to 1981 until Martina started dating Judy Nelson, who was married to a man and had kids with him, mm-hmm. In 1983. And then Martina and Judy were together until 1991, and they had a very messy breakup. And then Rita Mae was friends with them all, I guess. And Rita Mae told Judy, you should try to get palimony, and suggested that she pursue a palimony suit mm-hmm. against Martina. Because mm-hmm. Martina is, like, rich. She's famous, right? Mm-hmm. And palimony, I looked it up, is like alimony, but it's for unmarried live-in couples. So this mm-hmm. was, like, a really big deal because this was 1991, and these were lesbians yeah. being like, I should get paid for this relationship.
Yeah.
Like, it is requiring the court to view a lesbian relationship as, like, a real relationship, which,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes people still don't view our relationships as real, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a really big deal. Rita Mae ended up mediating the dispute, and it settled in 1992. So Martina did have to pay palimony to Judy yeah. Nelson. And during this time, Rita Mae moved in with Judy, and they dated
so messy.
God, I was like, it's getting the chart. Like,
it is,
you know?
Yeah.
And then Judy ended up writing a book about her relationships with Martina and Rita, and Rita wrote the intro. So I just thought that
so
was
so lesbian.
Yes,
literally.
I was like, damn. Okay,
jeez.
That was scandalous. And so anyway, I said, shout out to lesbians who write novels, win championships, and emotionally devastate each other. Thank you for your contributions to the LGBTQ community.
That's so true. Oh my
I was
God.
Like, what the hell? It was just, it kept getting wilder. I was like, who's this person?
Now
who's
they're dating.
Person? Yeah. And so jeez. I don't know what's happened after that, but I also do know that Rita Mae Brown is also still alive, and yeah. I think she's single right now. I don't know. I didn't see a current partner, but maybe
okay.
she stopped making her things so public because there
so.
Was like a lot of drama.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's also like in her 80s. Okay, so now it's time for our super fun new-ish segment that we're doing. We're ending every episode with a little queer trivia. So
yeah.
Do you want to pick one
sure.
out of here for me?
Okay. Let's see. I'll do middle one. Okay. Oh, when is National Coming Out Day in the United States? Is it A, March 11th, B, July 11th, C, October 11th, D, November 11th?
I forget that there's options.
Yeah.
And I like that there's options because I knew the month, but
yeah.
I couldn't remember the day.
Yeah.
So since there's options, it's October 11th.
You are correct.
Oh my God, I was going to be so embarrassed if it was wrong because I was like, I'm pretty sure it's right.
I saw you nodding your head when I read October 11th. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so biographer Carl Sandburg described which U.S. president's close relationship with Joshua Fry Speed as having a streak of lavender.
Okay.
I will tell you the options.
Okay.
A, JFK. B, John Adams. Okay. And they have the TikToks on. It's like, yeah. John Adams, I know him. I don't know. Is it that? Okay. Anyway, C. Franklin D. Roosevelt or D. Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. I'm just going to take a guess. I'm going to say JFK.
No, but I think I've heard that he had a best friend that people think they were doing stuff. But
it's not. Who is it?
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh.
Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
Did I make this up? Don't people say that his wife was also kind of gay? So were they
Lavender marriage?
Were they like maybe both gay? I don't know. Maybe. Oh. I feel like she was one of the first ladies that I've heard was potentially gay. I don't know. I could have made it up. I do think she had like mental health problems of some sort. Okay. But also at the time, being gay was like a mental health problem.
So that was her mental health problem?
To back my theory, I was like, oh, she was gay. He was also gay. Okay, so thank you so much for tuning in to But I'm a Lesbian. We are your go-to for sapphic media reviews, WLW drama, and unfiltered queer takes. If you enjoyed the show, please like, share, and subscribe on every platform. Leave us a review to help support the queer community and keep this lesbian-led pod thriving. After all, we're just two lesbians with mics trying to survive.
Tune in next week for another episode focusing on the tragic lesbian biopic. I don't know why I was going to say biopsy. No, I was going to say biopsy.
Wait, do you say biopic?
Yeah, what do you say?
I say biopic.
Biopic?
Am I wrong?
Okay, whatever one.
People tell
me it's just like Philo Philo.
Oh, I was going to say one is probably British and one is American. I'm probably saying the British one. I don't
know. That's okay. You just want to be fancy. It's okay.
Yes, like the land of my people. Anywho.
It's Gia.
Which yes! Is,
we love this film. So it is available on HBO Max.
Yes! Yeah. So we will see you next Tuesday! Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiplett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.